Well, first, I wish to welcome you here in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Am I loud enough? You can hear me back there? All right. Well, I'm going to start out in Hebrews. I want to read chapter 6, 1 to 3, if you want to follow along. Hebrews. I told your pastor that I had a sermon I wanted to give, and I said probably it would be better if it was in the evening than the morning because it's a kind of a travel log. And he said, oh, that'll be all right. Well, this isn't it.
That isn't it. Okay.
This isn't the travel log.
Get you again at night.
Somehow, my mind got changed. I was given some scriptures, and I thought, well, I'm going to be preaching to the choir tonight. And the Lord said, that's all right. These are the scriptures you'll use. So, chapter 6, 1 through 3, therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on unto perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith towards God, of the doctrine of baptism, laying on of hands, resurrection of the dead, and of eternal judgment. And this will we do if God permits. Well, now, I always learned that that particular scripture was called the principles of the gospel and listed them in order. Repentance, faith, baptism, laying on of hands, resurrection of the dead, and eternal judgment. There are six of them. But I'd like to propose to you tonight that there aren't six, there are eight. I want to add two more that Paul didn't use. And since these are called the principles of the doctrine, you know, in mathematics, you have theorems. You kids in school are probably studying this now. And the theorems are the first principles of mathematics. And then following those, you have a corollary. And the corollary is a second principle that tags on to the first principle. And so you have building blocks. Well, I think we have building blocks here too. I just read you the principles of the doctrine as listed in Hebrews. I want to read you what I'm going to call the corollary. And that is, if I can find it. It's found in chapter 13 of 1 Corinthians. Chapter 13 and verse 13. If you happen to have a Book of Mormon and you want to check me out, it's also found in Moroni 7, verses 9 through, 20 through 83. It's a little more detailed in the Book of Mormon, but I'm going to use the one in 1 Corinthians 13. And 13. Verse 13 says, and now abideth faith, hope, and charity. These three, but the greatest of these is charity. And you've all read that. Most of the preachers use the one in Moroni, because it's a little more detailed. Our brother Don did a pretty good job this morning of speaking specifically, I think, to that corollary where he talked about the grace of God, our hope, belief, and the glory of God. He used the word glory. But I think that our faith, hope, and charity, which is the pure love of Christ, encompasses that glory of God. Don did a very good job of a lead-in to my service. And then your pastor followed it up because he used one of my scriptures. First off, the two things that I want to add to that list are belief and then faith. I think belief is first. If you don't believe there's a God, you don't believe that things that are against his gospel or sins, there's nothing to repent of. If you don't believe in what Jesus brought us, you don't believe baptism. Everything is based first on the belief in our Lord and Savior. You have to believe in him. And then if you believe in him, to see the greater glory of God, as Don said this morning, you have to exercise your faith. Your faith towards God and what he brought to you and the things you say you believe. Do you do them? And then you discover, whoops, I committed a sin. And so then we have repentance. And then if you follow up on what he taught us, we want to claim that prize as we endure to our end, we'll be baptized so that we can be judged appropriate for eternal life with our Heavenly Father. So I think those principles should be, I'm going to add to what Paul said, belief, faith, and then go on with repentance, baptism, laying on of hands, and the other principles. Remembering that it was Jesus Christ, our Lord, who brought us, and in him is charity, the greatest of all, the pure love of God. I want to go back to Exodus. Exodus 4, and I'm going to read verses 1 through 2. And Moses answered and said, he's speaking to God here. God has said, you're going to go take the children of Israel out of Egypt. And aren't like humans, he argued with God. He said, Moses said, and but behold, they will not believe me, nor hearken unto my voice, for they will say, the Lord hath not appeared unto thee. And the Lord said unto him, what is that in thine hand? And he said, a rod. And he said, cast it on the ground. And he cast it on the ground, and it became a serpent, and Moses fled from it. And the Lord said unto Moses, put forth thine hand and take it by the tail. And he put his hand and caught it, and it became a rod in his hand. And so he said, that they may believe that the Lord God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob, hath appeared unto you. Now, that's kind of important because belief is something that's tangible. God showed him something that he could show the Egyptians. Belief is something that you can see, touch, feel. You know it's there. There's no doubt. And that did indeed work. And I think we need that as a first principle. And we look around us. The examples of God's glory are everywhere. I think sometimes as men, we don't see the forest for the trees. We just got to open our eyes and look. The glory of God is everywhere. He gave us everything. The next one, the next scripture I want to use if I can find it here. I thought I had these well marked. I now know better. It's in Hebrews, and it's the one my pastor just read. The definition of faith. I think that's number two. We got to believe, and we got to exercise faith. Then comes repentance. Hebrews 11, 1. Now faith is a substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. And he goes ahead and lists a whole bunch of people that obtained faith. For instance, in verse says it, by faith Abraham, when he was called to go into the place which he should after receiving his inheritance, obeyed. And he went out not knowing whither he went, and he was granted faith for his actions. You can't touch faith. You can't see it. You can't taste it. I do think, though, you can feel it. When you're being faithful, when you're doing the right thing, there is this overall feeling, I'll call it a gut feeling, that you're doing the right thing, that you've got God with you. He touches your heart and mind and guides you, but you can't see it, and you don't know it's there. It's also that same verse worded almost exactly like that is in Ether, the 5th chapter, 6th verse. If you're taking notes and want to write those down. Let me see, let's go to Mosiah. And I'm going to read in chapter 9, I'm going to read 53, verse 53. It's on page 260. Verse 53 says, yea, even he commanded them that they should preach nothing save it repentance and faith on the Lord, who hath redeemed his people. There he turned it around. If I add it to the principles there in Hebrews, it would be before repentance. He's saying, preach repentance and faith. Those two are kind of swappable in their actions and how we use them. Sometimes we think, that doesn't seem right. Maybe I'm doing wrong. And you decide you want to quit that or do something different. You just repented. But faith in that act of repentance isn't strong yet. It wasn't the driving force. So the two and their activity within us can come at the same time. I now want to go to Romans. Romans, the 10th chapter, and I'm going to read verses 11. I may get to 18, I'm not sure, but I'll start at 11. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For, and Don made that comment today, I think, of not being ashamed of his Lord and Savior. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek, and for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on him whom they have not believed? The question which we should ask is, how do we get into this change of believing and faith and repentance and baptism? What leads us to it? Do we just happen into it? Somebody brought it up in a conversation? I mean, where do you go? He's going to tell us. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him whom they have not heard? How shall they hear without a preacher? And here we are. And how shall they preach except they be sent? You have to be called of God. And it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings and good things. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah saith, Lord, who hath believed our report? So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. You go to Sunday school, your teacher explains your scriptures to you, you then come to church, your pastor explains some scriptures to you, you hear the preached word, you hear it from different sources, and that's how you exercise your faith and your belief. Somebody has to get you started. Sometimes God starts you. He said, I want you to do this. He did that with Moses. Not all are blessed. I say blessed because that's hard work. So we have a system. We have to believe. We then exercise that belief with some faith. The faith grows, then we repent because we've just found out we weren't doing something right. And then you get baptized. Some of you are baptized. Everybody in here that's baptized, we have any hands that aren't up? Thank you. I'm going to use a couple of real, simple, rudimentary examples that we use in our personal life. You all know my reputation. I'm a fisherman. I dearly love to go fishing. And I say, I'm going to go over here and I'm going to fish in that stream. And somebody says, there's no fish in that stream. And I says, well, I think there ought to be. No, there's no fish in that stream. Well, sure, there's fish in that stream. And so we walk over to the stream. You know, Missouri is blessed. Our cold water streams, particularly down in the Mark Twain Forest, are crystal clear. You can see clear to the bottom. They're beautiful. And you look in there, you can see the fish. Say, see, there's a fish. I just established my belief that in that stream, there's a fish. Now the other part. I have to exercise my faith. Do you think, I think, I can catch that fish? Well, if I use the right equipment and the right bait, and the Lord's with me, maybe I will. And so that starts me on the track of building my faith. That's a pretty simple example, but it works. I'll give you another one. If I handed one of you young folks, a bow and arrow, and said, have any of you ever done any archery? A little bit, okay. If I handed you a bow and we set up a target and I said, okay, hit the bullseye. Well, you say, well, I've never done one of these things before. Somebody's got to show you how. You've got to identify it. The bow shoots the arrow. It goes to the target. Then you have to exercise some faith. If I do this right and hold this correctly, you think I'm going to hit that target? Maybe, but may take some practice. I may have to try it a couple of times when I find out what I'm doing wrong. When I correct my errors, I'm going to hit the target. Life's like that too. When you correct the errors, you'll get where you want to go, and safely. But it takes belief and faith. I want to go to Galatians. And I'm going to go to the 6th chapter, I think. I don't get the pages stuck together. Yes, there we are. 6th chapter. And brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, you which are spiritual, restore, and such an one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. For if a man think himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself. But let every man prove his own word, and then shall he have rejoicing in himself alone and not in another. For every man must bear his own burden. The use of belief and faith and your attitude towards your brothers. Love thy neighbor. As Don spoke this morning, the glory of God is the big picture. There are so many faces of it that we could talk about and explain. They're right here in the scriptures. It says in another place, you're to do your good works, but to the household of faith first. We are the household of faith. So you regard your brother before you regard somewhere else. That doesn't mean that you set men apart or that they're different. They're all equal before God. But it's saying when you do your works, honor thy brother of like faith. That's an important thing to realize. As we know, Jesus came to the Jews first. They turned him down. He didn't go to the Gentiles except in one or two encounters, like the lady at the well, but he sent his apostles. At first, he told them, "Don't take anything with you, just go." But then later he told them, "Take your cloak and buy yourself a weapon." I forget who it was. Peter said, I guess he had a sword. He said, "Is this enough?" Jesus said, "Yes." So how did the Gentiles get the faith from the Jews? That's also here in Galatians, and it's in the 13th chapter or 3rd chapter. We'll start with chapter 13. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, for it is written, "Cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree," that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Brethren, I speak after the manner of men, though it be but a man's covenant. Yet, if it be confirmed, no man disannulleth or abideth thereon. So that Jesus Christ brought that to the Gentiles. Then all are equal to the same belief, faith, repentance, and the rest of the principles that I listed. Let's go to Alma. Chapter 5 and verse 25. Verse 25, it's on page 324. Therefore, come and be baptized unto repentance, that you may be washed from your sin, that you may have faith on the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sins of the world, which is mighty to save and to cleanse from all unrighteousness. Notice there he mentions two of the standards, baptism and faith. You'll discover as you read through the scriptures, every time they read about something, it seems like that they'll read one like, say, baptism, but then faith comes in behind it. Faith has to exist, and it has to go forward, and you have to be strong in your belief. You won't advance, or you won't be protected without it. Let's go to Hebrews again. I think I've been there. Oh, yes, this is where we had that list. Hebrews 11th chapter, 5 and 6. I read you the one about Abraham. I'll read you the one about Noah. By faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. And there again, notice that the word faith comes in following righteousness. You can't have one without the other. Mosiah. Oh, yes, this is chapter 9 again. I read to you verse 53 before. I'm going to read Mosiah 35 and 37 of chapter 9, I think. And it came to pass that after many days there was a goodly number gathered together in the place of Mormon to hear the words of Alma. And this is after he had heard them from Abinadi. Yea, all were gathered together that believed on the word to hear him. And he did teach them and did preach unto them repentance and redemption and faith on the Lord. Once again, this verifies the coming together of the people and hearing the preached word. You know, earlier I said, how do we get faith? By hearing. How do you get the hearing? By a preacher. How do you get the preacher? He's sent by God. And back to Galatians. Bear with me, please. Second chapter of Galatians. Verse 16. Knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ. Even we have believed in Jesus Christ, that we might be justified by the faith of Christ, and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. The corollary to that fact is, however, that if you do not follow the commandments of Jesus, you will be judged by what you did wrong, which granted is a work, but the work itself doesn't justify you. It was the faith that preceded it that moved you to do the good act. Does that make sense? Okay. Let's see. Let's go to 1 Corinthians 15. I'm going to start at verse 16. This is where Christ has been arguing with the scribes and the Pharisees about who he is and about the resurrection. I'll start with verse 12. Now, if Christ be preached that he rose from the dead, how say some among you that there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there is no resurrection of the dead, then is Christ not risen? And if Christ be not risen, then is our preaching vain, and your faith also vain? Yea, and we found false witness of God, because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom he raised not up, if so be that the dead raise not. For if the dead raise not, then is not Christ raised. And if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain, ye are yet in your sins. Jumping to 20. Oh, I'll start 19. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, one of those principles, we are of all men most miserable. But now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept. For since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. And this is the corollary to the story of when Adam and Eve committed the sin, man created death. Death didn't exist until they created it. The adversary did. And so the bonds of death had to be broken. And Christ, as our Savior, did that. So, in verse 21, for since man came to death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. The full cycle comes around. God's plan is complete, as it always is. Let's see here. I'm going to jump to John. And it's the 10th chapter, I think. Oh, I did mark that. 10th chapter, 24th verse. Then came the Jews round about him and said unto him, how long dost thou make us to doubt? If thou be the Christ, tell us plainly. Jesus answered them. I'd like to point out this is in red. I told you and you believe not. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me. But ye believe not, because you are not of my sheep, as I said unto you. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father which gave them me is greater than all. And no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand, for I and my Father are one. So you see, the works that Jesus did were the signs, the things you could see. that created the belief, that led us to exercise the faith, that then brought us to repentance and then baptism. And now, the job that Don was talking about this morning, the greater picture, we must endure to the end. We must endure keeping that faith strong, pleasing God. And without the faith, we can't please Him. Thank you for reading that scripture. A little example that I want to leave you with. You all saw me walk up here tonight, and you saw me walk to the podium, and kind of like Moses, I have a stick. Mine won't turn into a snake, however. But what does a stick do? It helps me walk. It helps me stand up. Hopefully, it keeps me from falling. So, if you, particularly your young people, run into problems and trials in your life, you come up against things you didn't have the answers for, you want to know what to do or how to make a decision, use your cane. You've got two of them, one for each hand, because they will give you the truth and always guide you. God bless.